Three Little Sisters. Today we are doing a presentation on our apothecary, including all of our decks and showing people how to use them. I'm going to start this little presentation with the creator of our Ohem deck, Xiao Mulan Barubi. He's going to explain a little bit about the deck and why she created it. And then we're going to explain to you why we started this apothecary and show you guys how to do some basic rune readings, some basic tarot readings, and a very unusual oracle reading. So we are bringing all that to you from the Three Little Sisters Apothecary arm to show off what we've invented. So Xiao, if you wanted to just in brief tell us a little bit about the Ohem, and then we'll explain why we came up with this apothecary.
Well, first off, Ohem is the language of trees for the Irish, particularly the Irish, but more or less Celts. And it is one of the first written languages that you'll see in Ireland. You'll find them on stones. You'll find it on archaeological digs in Ireland and the Celtic areas. And the Druids adopted it for a form of communication as well as divination. It is the main divination tool that I myself use as an Irish witch and druid. And I developed the cards to be easy. You get the Irish word, the Irish pronunciation under the word, and you get the English word up the left side along with the symbol of that word. And the divination or the message of each card is actually at the bottom.
And we're really happy with it too, because it looks absolutely amazing and includes some of our favorite colors, the green and the gold. And it's a really beautiful deck to work with. If you haven't seen it up close, it's very shiny, durable, it shuffles well. All of our decks have very similar features, and all of them are very high quality. It's one of the biggest compliments we get in the shop is how beautiful the design is and how clear the images are, making these very easy to use. When we decided to do the apothecary, it was mostly to try and provide divinatory as well as more spiritual and religious objects for our community. And for those who don't know a little bit about our house, we have two heathens who work here, myself and Sarah, and our Celtic Irish Druid, Xiao. And the three of us work so closely together that over the years we literally have become sisters. It's not just a figurative name for us, but we have bonded in a way that's closer and more intimate than most relationships out there. And that bonding caused us to realize that our spiritual practices began to overlay on one another, causing us to sort of accept one another's gods, whether we were willing or unwilling to. And this led to an understanding that we were going to have to create products that mirrored both sides, and that all three of us could have our voices heard in terms of spiritual practices and the things we liked. So that's sort of why we created the apothecary, because we saw a need in our community to have something that was from real life practitioners who practice these things on their own and who have spent years dedicating their life to these practices. I myself use the Futhark runes a lot. I love the Futhark in our decks because they're absolutely visually stunning to me. And I worked with Xiao very closely on the artistic deck, picking images that I felt gave a visual representation to each of the symbols on those cards. And the reason I wanted to do that was because for me, I'm a very visual person and I love the Futhark symbols in their simplicity, but I feel that they often hide things that are way more visceral. And if you can find images that sort of speak to those hidden languages, hidden things, the things in the secret areas, it gives it much more life. And this kind of pairs with a lot of the other authors that write about the Futhark and about our mythology, as Sarah can attest. It is a very hidden secret world, and to find those secrets that are within are one of the biggest things that heathens do in their practice. So that's where I'm coming from, and I'll let Sarah give her little information about how she views why we came up with the apothecary and what she practices. Go for it, Sarah.
So I have been reading tarot for about 10 years now, and I always love collecting new decks because each deck has its own personality. So it was very exciting to have the opportunity to create our own and put our personalities in and determine what personality we wanted each deck to have.
I can actually, I'll back that up because I'm a big avid tarot card oral cult deck, like, collector. I even have a bone throwing set that I just recently bought last summer that is fighting me because it does not like me right now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and just recently, I had a Line Strider deck sent to me. I traded for a bunch of my stuff, bones, which I can't send to either Larissa or Sarah because there's laws about that, apparently. So I don't want to go to jail. but yeah, so the Line Strider is one of the ones that I traded for, and I'm hoping to convince Larissa to put that one into her apothecary too, because that one is light and airy and fluffy like her visual, her artistic ruin deck. And it's really talkative like the artistic ruin deck. And that project, by the way, the artistic ruin deck, that was one heck of a project. But it came out beautiful. I was impressed.
It really did.
I impressed me.
It is gorgeous.
And the simple one, I made it that way because I wanted something very simple, very easy, and something even, you know, like teenage children who are just getting into it to get into and be able to just read. And that was it.
Which is an amazing thing to do, because when you start out in heathenry, the runes are probably the second thing you'll come in contact with after the mythology. So sometimes it's the first, because a lot of people get into heathen pathways because they find a symbol that they like. And Elder Futhark has used it throughout a lot of games and a lot of comic books and a lot of art. So it appears in a lot of places, and people can find it very enticing to want to learn about it and what it is. And so there's a lot of information out there. A lot of it is misinformation. So finding the real historical reason why they use the Futhark runes can be really helpful in your pathway. And having a deck that just sort of has the symbols on it that's very straightforward gives that first glimpse, because you're going to want to start very basic and then build your relationship with the runes over time.
That and the simple, straightforward, the message is on the card as well. So now you don't have to refer back to a book either.
Mm-hmm. I also really like the rune cards for, you know, not for some of the heathens that don't actually use runes for divination, they still use them in, you know, meditation or spell work, and these cards are perfect for both.
I'm going to assume they're like my culture as well, and my religion, where they'll also use it for altar work. Well, they'll place symbol down on the altar. For me, Ogham, that's something I'll place on my altar as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are used in multiple different ways. So they can be used not just for divination. If you don't want to read the runes, that's totally fine. You can use them just to place around or for meditation work. You can use them to just bond yourself closer to gods, because all of our gods are linked to some or one or more of the runes. And it's the same within the Ahem as well, and the same within a lot of decks, even tarot to some degree or another. You can connect to different gods. It's a way to kind of give you a spiritual doorway if you're not too familiar with working with a specific mythology or a specific pantheon. It kind of just gives you that gateway towards a whole life of learning, because that's what pursuing a spiritual pathway is. It is learning. With Riding the Bones, one of the favorite things I had working with that deck was just the sheer amount of colors that are linked throughout the whole thing. When you look at the deck together, it makes such a beautiful color pathway that provides an additional way of reading it other than just tarot or oracle work. It gives you sort of a color visual to make your brain come alive and connect to the gods in different ways. And I really loved the stunning images that we all picked to kind of associate not just with our gods, but different aspects of our pantheon. Like, for example, the familiars, the ancestor cards, the filja. You know, these were all very important to us to include because they speak to aspects of our own practices and our own worship. And all three of us have linked, shared relationships with certain things, for example, like ancestors and familiars. So having a deck that hybrids these two faiths is really important. And one of the biggest things I hear back on about that deck is it is one of the rare ones that does link two different pantheons. You don't find that a lot. So with Rotting the Bones, we kind of hit mirroring two pathways, which are very much crossed over so many times. So it makes sense to mirror those into a one complete deck.
Absolutely agree with you there. And on top of that, I'm just going to throw out there that your Filja is our fetch. So we have a word for that particular archetypal thought process too, is that a Filja and a fetch are pretty much the same idea. Your other being, so to speak.
Yeah, and then with the Rider-Waite, I mean, Xiang, you did such an amazing job picking more modern images. I think we all who have either practiced, studied, or bought tarot throughout the years, it needs updates. And some of the images do not relate to our modern understanding of anything. They're completely lost to us in terms of their real and practical meaning. So having something a little bit more modern with a little bit more simplistic art to them was really eye-catching. And they are really beautiful.
I curated those ones, and I have to give a thumbs up to the artist off of Adobe Stock for that one. Thank you. Yes, we have the licensing for it, so if anybody wants to ask that question, yes, we're licensed. I was stunned by the artwork by this person, and it's the type of artwork that turns around and tells you, I gotta have it. And it was so modernized and so connective that it's just, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. It's gotta be on cards, and we gotta do something with this.
Yeah, they were really beautiful. And anything we do pick for the apothecary, the three of us do take a look at. We scan through. We actually try to visually go through a couple of sample cards at least to make sure that this is something that either A, mirrors our quality assurance, B, has some relationship to some aspect of our own practices, and C, is actually of good quality and of good design. We won't pick things that don't have a good artistic eye to them, because we feel that having a spiritual pathway includes an artistic pathway, and so those two things must mirror in order to have a perfect deck that can be used for different practices.
And on top of that, if I don't connect to the artwork, I don't pick it either. On top of that, all of that.
And I will say, for full disclaimer, before doing this with my daughter, who is young, we made sure we told everyone in the room who was listening or not that she was there to demonstrate. We made sure that everyone knew she was not there doing readings. So I just wanted to make sure that we were fully aware of what we could do by opening a deck, by shuffling a deck, by using a deck. So she was very respectful in telling them that she was just there to record the videos and not there to read. And I think it's really important to have that distinction. When you're going to read, you want to make sure that you're setting your space appropriately and making sure you're there for a task. Whenever I go to do rune readings, I never put them on a bare table. I always put them on some kind of cloth, whether it's something I made or something in the house. I never put them on bare surfaces. And I always make sure that the space around me, at least a good 2 feet or more, has no one in it. And I always say I'm doing a rune reading now, and to have everybody out of the space. So it's just me alone with my deck. And that way you're creating sort of a respectful atmosphere, and not trying to, or not bring in other people's energy or accidentally read for someone else close by in the room. Because you will pick up cards for other people, not just yourself, if there's more people.
Yeah, sometimes the cards are not talking to you at all, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to come across a deck that, you know, at first you thought, you know, you're going to get along with that deck. I'm sorry, all decks have personalities and they are living beings. To me, they feel living. Well, not beings, but living. They're alive. You'll come across a deck that you thought that you were going to, you know, connect to. And at first you did, and then not so much. And it hates you now, and it doesn't want to talk to you anymore. There are groups where you can trade decks, sell a deck, and that's okay. You can do that. That's fine. And find a different deck that actually speaks to you. Don't be disappointed when a deck actually turns around and says, I don't like you.
Yeah.
It's okay. Exactly.
And I think Larissa touched on a very interesting topic on how to prepare for a reading. And this is going to vary, you know, from reader to reader. I don't really have any qualms about, like, I read my tarot cards on my bed. So I don't have any issues putting them down on my bed sheets. But prior to a reading, I will always wash my hands and just kind of mentally prepare myself. And that's kind of my trigger for, okay, we're getting ready to do a rune reading. Connect with who you need to connect with, and then I shuffle my cards. So there, you know, you can have like a set of steps that you take that kind of acts as that trigger of, I'm getting ready to connect with my spirit guides, my gods, or, you know, what have you.
Yeah, and I'm at the very other end of, like, Sarah sounds like she's down the middle, and Larissa sounds like she's at the other end, and I'm at the other end of her, where it's like, I'll bare surface read, my cards don't mind, I don't need very much prep, I'm a very, I'd probably say, I wouldn't say less theatrical about it, because it's not theatrics for used to, but more of a less of a, I'm just a go with it. If the cards start whispering, it's I pick them up and go.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need any prep, really. So I'm at the other end of the two. But a whole spectrum of us who do it differently. And you know what? Yeah. That's okay, too, because you will find your way and your own path in doing it. Again, I'm not here to gatekeep.
Yeah, I do like a little bit of, I guess I would, I say I kind of lean on a little bit of having a little bit of theater. I mean, the work is serious to me. I don't take it as a joke. Mm-hmm. But when I go to serve in any capacity out there, as whether or not I'm serving as a priestess or a reader or as a vulva, like, I go dressed up and ready to read on a proper table with proper stuff. Because I think that some of it is having... being dressed a certain way or being looked a certain way when you're going to do formal readings at home. I just don't like to have my child anywhere near my readings. I tend to keep her kind of away from my stuff because I feel that even if she says something, you know, you don't, it, this is not a game, and it's not like something the children should be playing with without supervision, or at least knowing what they're touching. So, you know, we have a respectful environment for, like, that's not something you're playing with. It's not a game. Like, I don't want to see go fish with your tarot cards. Like, it's not a game. I
can't imagine someone playing that with a set of tarot cards.
But, you know, some people don't, like, think anything of it, but these are spiritual tools, and they do connect to spiritual things. And so if you, you know, keeping your things in a way of whatever you feel comfortable with is fine. And if you want to let your child play with them, that's okay. I'm not saying there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't like to gatekeep either, but, you know, do what's comfortable for you. And for me, yeah, particularly, having my spiritual tools kind of separate is kind of important for me.
And every practitioner is different. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that kind of think is along my kind of think on Ouija boards. I'm sorry, those things are dangerous because most people don't know how to use the damn things and shouldn't be using the damn things. Like, I won't even let one in my house.
Yeah.
Because to me, those talking boards can be very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So especially it's kind of like dangerous. That. Yeah, tarot cards, wing it, whatever. Okay, I'm good with tarot cards. Yes, they're kind of along the same lines of Ouija board, but not. But Ouija boards, to me, are a dangerous divination tool that most people shouldn't even pick up. You should be licensed to use sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff... People,
we've all been stupid teens, but we all also watch a lot of horror movies, so just don't. Okay, just don't. It's not a good plan.
I've seen a lot of paranormal circles where they'll use one of them, and I'm like, oh my lord, yeah, you didn't even close the board properly. What did you just do?
Put it away, throw it out the window. Like, no, just don't.
Right.
So I guess I'm a little bit different when it comes to my cards because, like, my daughter was really interested in learning, and, I let her play with them because I was like, I want you to pick out three cards that make you happy and three cards that make you scared, just based on the artwork. So her flipping through them and picking her cards, and then, you know, that's, I think it depends on how the person learns. Obviously, like, you know, yeah, don't play Go Fish with your tarot cards. But if some element of play helps you learn, I think that's okay. But yeah, it does have to be approached as, you know, this is an actual serious endeavor. Maybe let's not, you know, not play too much.
Yeah, like I always, I do the same thing, Sarah. But for me, like when I'm about to do it, what I usually say is like, hey, the norms, we're just playing. So that the stage has already been set for, like, we are not reading. Because to me, when I read tarot, it is directly connecting to the norms. Mm-hmm. So I always say to them, like, I'm not, like, we're just playing. We're not reading. Yeah. So that way my daughter is exempt from any, you know, possible entanglement that could possibly come from anything she pulls. Because, yeah, children, of course, are going to get curious about what we're doing. You know, I think they observe adults and they see what they do and they want to know what all this stuff is. And it's okay for them to explore the decks and pick cards out and whatever. But there has to be a line drawn between, like, learning and then playing. And just making sure you're telling your decks, like, she's just playing. Like, whatever she pulls is not serious. So don't like, imbue anything with that. And, right. And she's just a child. So,
or, you know, like, as most of us who read tarot, we, you know, our decks like to call us out. Right. You know, she's a kid, don't call her out, be gentle.
Yeah, well, like, some of my ducks love calling me out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, having rules on both sides, making sure that the spiritual understands that this is a child and they should treat them as such, and, you know, knowing that the child has respect for the ducks. So that basically it goes both ways. I think we're all hitting on the same point, which is that for us, all the decks are alive, and so they have some sort of agency of their own and should be approached as people. And you need to have that sort of relationship with spiritual objects, because they're not just objects, they are things. And if you believe in any kind of animism at all, that is very normal. So objects have life of their own, and you need to treat them as such.
And I believe all cultures have animism in their religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs as well. Both Celtic and Nordic have animism, very centered on animism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you're using any of these cards in spell work, you know, that does add a whole nother element to it, where, you know, they really do need to be taken seriously, and you need to be able to connect with your cards to know what to use in what spell work. And a lot of readers who also use their decks in spell work have certain decks where they will not let anybody else touch it. Oh, because this deck is going to be used in spell work. It needs just my energy and nobody else's.
Yeah, I agree with you there, because I have, like, about probably 15 decks, and out of those, at least 4 or 5 of them, don't touch my decks. Don't touch. It's like my altar, don't touch it.
Share my screen here so that my other sisters can take a look at it. But the Joy Seekers Tarot is full of beautiful animals, flowers, crystals, and more. And so that deck will be coming, and Sarah can take a little peek of it here. But it's absolutely visually beautiful.
Stunning.
And it looks like a gorgeous deck to work with. So we'll be featuring her deck, and then her second deck, which is called Plant Joy, which is very similar to something we've been thinking about, although she has developing
not
something
quite
much different.
But I'll give you a little sneak peek on that in a second. I just wanted to let you know that the Line Striker is done by Ciolo Thompson.
Yes. And hers is absolutely gorgeous too. So there's some of the floral tarot that we will have. It's got some beautiful images on it. Very nice watercolor. Gorgeous. We will have a kind of a darker deck to go along with our tarot of ritual abuse, called the Black Tarot. The Black Tarot features some surrealistic images that are quite dark and menacing.
Very shadow
heart.
Very shadow work, this deck.
They come in a gorgeous black box. They are in very high demand, so catch one while you can, because they're disappearing off the shelves.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the decks that we will be having in from third parties. What we're going to be doing with the Apothecary is a little bit different, as we've been expanding and kind of figuring it out as we go. So other than our in-house decks, which we'll tell you about next, we're going to feature a third party deck every month. And with that featured deck, you will get one included inside an intention box. So what that will come with, if you don't just want to buy the deck itself, but you want a little bit more than that because you want to take your spirituality to the next level, you can choose to just add it to an intention box for an extra couple bucks. You get a set of candles, a crystal, either a bath tea or a drinkable tea that you can use to take your work even further. And we are so proud to partner with Tree 54 because they have been providing us with teas that are absolutely amazing to drink. And you will get some really well-needed care in their herbal infusions. We're going to have their Lucid Dream Tea, their Awake Tea, some of their other teas that are really good for the body, mind, and soul, and can be used before you do any kind of tarot work at all or rune readings to bring your mind sort of into that really healthy place. So we'll be partnering with them to feature some of their unique teas inside the intention boxes. So only four decks will be available at one time. And so you might want to get them while you can, and because they will not come back. And so basically get them while they're hot. So with that in mind, we've got some in-house decks that are also coming out soon. Other than the Rider-Waite Modern, our Elder Futhark Artistic, our Oham deck, our Simple Modern Futhark deck, and our Riding the Bones deck, Xial, you have some decks in store for us. Why don't you tell us about those?
Well, for one, there is a comic Rider-Waite deck coming out. That one, again, is curated artwork from Adobe. Amazing artist there, too. Really spoke to me. And it spoke to me on the level that for kids, for a little bit older kids, mind you, we're talking about mid-teens, pre-teen, maybe pre-teen if they're a little bit more mature. It's up to the parents, of course. It's always up to the parents what their kids end up with in their hands. We have, like you were insinuating, they're not actually tarot cards or oracle cards that I'm working on. It's herbal identity cards. In other words, we're looking at making cards where you can identify things like lichens, oak moss, which ones are edible, which ones are not, which ones need to be cooked first before they're edible, because a lot of lichens you can't eat right straight out the forest, and you should never eat anything right straight out of the forest, by the way. We're looking at Usnea, identity card, lion's mane, all sorts of herbs and plants that you can have a whole deck of identities for. And you can flip through them and make sure you've got the right one with the picture, with the genus, with what they do, if you can eat it or not, or all of it, all the information you would need right in the palm of your hand. And you don't need a connection to an internet because they're cards in your hands. So that's one, another one. And Sarah gave me the really wicked cool idea to do a demonology card deck, a tarot deck. And so that hasn't gone into development yet, but we are working on the idea of it. And there's a few more that we're not quite there yet to say if they're going to come or if they're not.
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting to have like a darker themed deck. I noticed that there weren't a lot on the market for people who are more drawn to like the left-hand path. Mm-hmm. I myself am not, but you know, again, my little gothy heart does like the darker stuff. So I thought this would be, you know, just a nice tool for them. Yeah. And anybody who, you know, has who leans more towards, you know, the darker artwork.
Yeah, and that also inspired a possibility for a serial killer deck.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking about doing that one, too. I absolutely love your demonology deck, your idea. It's perfect.
Yeah, and that's the point with this, is that we're expanding the apothecary to include decks that wouldn't necessarily be used for divinatory practices, but could be just used for reference or collectors or meditation or artwork or whatever. The reason we're doing this is because the publishing house really relies on external support, and having the apothecary helps us fund things that are very urgent in need, for example, hiring additional staff, hiring our editors, paying for things that normally can't be paid for out of royalties, like paying for us to do advertisements and et cetera, like things like that. So it really helps us fund projects that we're trying to implement and do for our authors. So every little purchase helps. And that's why we've created this, is to create a way that not only our spirituality gets expressed, but allows us to expand our art, allows us to explore different topics, and really kind of share our love of bizarre things to the world. And I think that's a really cool thing that we can do, because we have an amazing artist in-house. So we're very grateful to be able to have all that for us. So we really, are so excited for what's going to be happening and what's coming out next. So if you want to keep track of what's releasing from the apothecary, stay tuned to our Instagram channel, and that's where you're going to find all the information. Sarah and I have been working on ads putting out for each of the decks that are coming, so you'll be able to see when it's coming, when it will be released, and when you can purchase the decks. I'll also pay attention to our Facebook channel and our website, where we launch all this information. You can also check us out on TikTok. We'll have all the links attached to these demos, so you can see these videos, any of those mediums, including YouTube, and contact us there, and also buy decks right from each of the outlets. In fact, as of this week, TikTok will be able to show our products as well, so you'll be able to check out right on the TikTok platform. So we're really excited to bring all this to you guys, and hope that our readers and fans out there really support us and pick up some beautiful decks. And I think that's all we have to say. If there's anything else you guys want to add to that.
Something in there. If there's something you wanted to see hit the apothecary shelves, for example, if you're a Celt like me and you can't seem to find, say, an Irish Torque, and we happen to come across a source for it, if you want to see something in our shelves, let us know. Drop us a Facebook post or a comment, or, you know, drop us an Insta comment. Let us know what you want to see.
Absolutely. And if you are an artist that's looking to maybe submit some deck to us to review or maybe take on, please talk to us, because we're willing to bring in some artists if we like what they've designed, and feature them in our featured deck of the month. So, you know, just reach out to us and we will try to accommodate any requests we come in. Just understand it does take us time to develop the deck and for Shion to really artistically get where you're going with something, and really find the images that match. So we really look forward to this expansion, and thank you all for your support. And with that, we'll see you on our next presentation, and thanks very much for joining us.